Hi Mia, how you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you. How are you?
Thank you for doing this. So glad that you're here. It's going to be fun. Hopefully you like it though. Yeah,
Thank you.
so how's your week been?
Oh, that's a question. It's been quite a week. I actually moved out of my flat this week. So I finished first year, which means I got kicked out of my university accommodation. So that was kind of a hectic week. And then I've just been working the latter half of the week.
Oh, so like you're probably house hunting right now.
I'm home for the summer, which is nice, but
Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna be house hunting towards the end of summer.
It's like a lot of stress. I remember last summer I was house hunting. I thought it was going to be easy. That was my first time house hunting, but it was a lot. But I'm sure like you've been here for a while, so you'll be able to figure it out so
Yeah,
fast.
hopefully I'm able to find someone.
What's
Would be a bit problematic if I don't.
the most fun thing you've done this week?
So I work for my church, Free
Okay.
Hope. And so I'm in the office a couple of days a week, and that's always really good fun. We always have good time, and so I'd say that's probably one of my highlights is being in the office. We were laughing about what it would look like if our church was like a sitcom. And so that really made me giggle.
Oh, that's so fun. What else did you do, like aside from church, what else do you enjoy doing itself?
What do I enjoy doing? I'm trying to get into reading. I don't love reading, but my sister loves reading. She will read a book in a day easily, regularly. And so she's been getting me to read Harry Potter so we can watch the movies, because I made a deal with myself where I would watch all the movies apart from the last one. And thankfully, Harry Potter is not like it's not as recent, so people haven't spoiled it for me. So I don't actually know what happens. But
Harry Potter,
yeah,
I
at
can
the end of the
spoil
movie, no. I've gone years of it knowing.
it
But I made a deal with myself and with her that I would not watch the last movie until I read all the books. So 3 years later, she's like, Mia, I'm waiting on you to read these books so that we can watch the last movie.
You've not
So
watched the last movie for the past 3 years.
no.
Wow, that's a big commitment.
Yeah, self-control a little is that hard sometimes. But I'm trying to read, so I've been doing a lot of reading, and I'm on the bus a lot, so I'm reading on the bus. But aside from that, I've just finished school, so that was taking up a lot of my time.
So, Mia, how did your passion for God start off? How did you start loving God the way you like really do right now? And what keeps pushing you to keep going forward?
I think there are two main pictures, and one of them is my family. My parents love God, and they raised their kids as free to love God and to pursue our own relationship with it. It wasn't like a family relationship. It was like we all have our own faith with God, and we all are pursuing God as a family. So I think that's been something that's really affected the foundation of my faith, and I think as well a good church community.
Yeah, but before we go to like the good church community, a lot of parents find it hard to like translate their faith to their kids. So like how were your parents able to like effectively do that with you guys, not forcing it on you?
I think something I remember my dad saying, and I really respect him for this, was that like church and Christian community and spiritual disciplines were not negotiable, but how we went about them were up to us. And so if you didn't love the kids' ministry, that's okay, that you have finally to be surrounded by Christians your age. If you didn't love reading your Bible every day, that's okay, but you still need to have spiritual disciplines. So you need to be praying and spending time with God. And maybe you can sit in and read a book in the Bible back to front, but front to back. But you need to spend time in His Word. And I think that was something that I didn't quite realize the fruit of at the time, because I was young, I was a kid. But now looking back, I can see that it wasn't, I was able to love God and get to know God in a way that also worked for me. It wasn't kind of the way you have to do things. So I think that was something that helped. But as well, I just saw my parents love God and serve God, and they've always been really involved with church, and they've always done quiet times, and we've always prayed as a family and talked about, what are you reading in your Bible, or what are you doing in your prayer times, or how do you feel like God is feeding you? And I think just that gentle but consistent pitch towards the Lord was really, really fruitful. There were times where I didn't want to get up and go to church on a Sunday. I was doing gymnastics 6 days a week, so I didn't really have a Sabbath because I was at gymnastics all day on a Saturday and then having to go to church on a Sunday. And so there were times where it was definitely a drag, but I'm so glad that it was something that I was held to, and there was kind of accountability and pursuing God and then being faithful to that until that day.
Yeah, I think like accountability like really works a lot. Being able to surround yourself with like a community of like individuals that actually believe in what you believe in, and like they are very supportive of what you do, and you also have them around not to be a judge but to also like watch over you, encourage you, run with you, which is quite fun and nice, which is really good. So like the community, how do you think people can effectively fit themselves into communities or find the community that is quite supportive for them?
I think a big part of it is the Lord.
Yeah.
And trusting him to bring to the right people. I think a big part of it is also in a community. There are kind of, they're not all going to be the same in a community. And you want to find people that, for example, or speaking in a Christian context,
yeah,
there are things that every community should have and should be doing biblically. And that's kind of not negotiable, but in terms of the expressions of that, I think that's different
for
a person. But I think that you want to be in a community that is edifying, that's challenging you to move towards the Lord, to be refined and to not stay as a sinful person. Like, we're always going to be sinners, but we can be more and more refined and look more and more like the Lord. And so you want to be in a community that's encouraging you and challenging you to do that.
Yeah.
And but also a community that's loving and that's pastoral. And the reality is, again, we're sinners, and so it's not always going to be a perfect love, but that's okay because we get that perfect love from Jesus. And so I think as a body, our role as a community is to do our best to love each other, but also do our best to point each other towards God. And so I think that is what you should be looking for in the community, is those things.
That's good. Yeah, that was like very good. You feel like, that was very good, very good. At what age did you do your first mission trip?
Because when I was six, my parents felt like God was calling them to go to Brazil. Or that's what they told me. I was six at the time. But what they said to me, and my understanding was, you know, God has opened the door for us to go to Brazil. They both really had a time for South America that night. But so they're like, so that's opened it. So we lived there for a year.
So that's a quote unquote mission trip.
Yeah.
However,
how was your Brazil experience?
Yeah, so I think having family, having my brother and my sister was great. But I also got to know people. We had like Portuguese lessons before we went, which, I mean, they weren't my favorite. But actually just being immersed in Brazil and like being immersed in the Portuguese language, we picked up pretty quickly.
Can you still speak?
Can I just speak?
Like, can you still speak Portuguese?
I can understand quite a fair bit. My recall isn't as great. So I can't speak as well. But when I'm around Portuguese speakers, I can often understand the conversation. I can't get every word, but I can understand the conversation.
Yeah, at least you can't be sold away.
But yeah, it's one of my things. I'm relearning Portuguese on Duolingo. Because I do want to pick it back up. It's one of my goals for this next decade is to relearn Portuguese. But yeah, so Brazil was kind of our first missions trip as a family. Yeah. But I was a kid and I was going to school, so I didn't feel as missional.
Yeah.
But then when I was 17,
yeah,
I felt like God was calling me to go and do a DTS, which is a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission, or YWAM. So in January of 2023, would it have been, I moved to Hawaii, which whenever you say missions, and I'm like, oh, but it was in Hawaii, everyone's like, wow. But yeah, it was an amazing place to be for that season.
How long were you there for?
So I was there for 3 months initially.
Wow.
So the way discipleship training school works is there's like two parts to it. It's 6 months. The first 3 months is what they call lecture phase. So each week you have teachings about different aspects. There's like character and nature of God, hearing God's voice, Holy Spirit. So that's the first 12 weeks. And you're like living with a bunch of people and you're all kind of like, the idea is that no matter where you were in your faith before, you can come and do this for 3 months and like you have a pretty solid foundation.
Yeah.
Then for the latter 3 months, you go on outreach. And depending on which base you go to, they all have different connections. But one of the reasons I chose Hawaii was because that base has like the most connections. So you can kind of go anywhere. But I ended up going to Paraguay for my mission. So there was a team of, there was five students and two staff. We all went to Paraguay. And we served there. We worked with local churches. We were doing Bible distribution. We were doing kind of mercy ministries. We built like a water pump in one of the villages and their water pump had broken. So we just kind of like fixed it and made them a new one, which to clarify, we had some, there was a man and his family who lived there.
Yeah.
Who, he's actually from the UK, which was crazy. He's from Aberdeen. But he, I think he's from Aberdeen. Can't remember now. He had moved there and he was working with this indigenous village. And so he had all the experience to build this water pump. We were more just kind of extra hands and feet. Yeah. But yeah, we did that. We like painted a church at one point. So just kind of loads of different ministries and whatever the contacts needed, you know.
Well, like it's actually really quite fun seeing that you're living life, not just for yourself.
Yeah.
I feel life is worth living when it's in service to other people and to like the people around you, because you get to know like genuine happiness. So when people like feel material things can give happiness, I'm like, if you transform a life, like you'll be like so happy. You'll be like, wow, I just did this to like an old being. And you're like so excited.
Yeah, I remember one summer, my parents have missionary friends in France. And one summer, we kind of went to help out, me, my brother, my sister, at like a summer camp they do. They work with kids who are immigrants to the country, and they kind of help teach them French because they actually don't really know the language and so they're struggling in school. So they work with these kids, and so we kind of went over one summer to kind of help them for their summer camp. And for the two of those weeks, we were at this camp and the whole time what we were doing was serving. You know, we were there to be supported. So we were serving the kids and kind of just running with them for a couple of weeks. And I remember after that trip, my mom asked me, like, was that okay? Because my mom loves to go on holiday every year. She loves to take a trip away. But she was like, was that okay that we didn't really get a trip away, but you guys got to do that? And I was like, Mom, honestly, that was my favorite holiday that I've been on. And I think that's when like it clicked for me that when you are serving the Lord and when your life's focus is around the Lord, you have so much fulfillment in that, because that's what we're created to do. We're created to live that way, and we're created to live a life that is worship to the Lord in every aspect, and that looks different for everyone. But I think that was the first time I realized what that really meant. And so then doing missions just made sense, because I was like, well, if my favorite time in my life was when I was serving the Lord and doing what he wanted me to do, why would I not choose to do that for longer?
It's like just something you do want and you just stay addicted
yeah.
to.
Yeah. But it is that like really fulfilling
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was.
But like when you left Paraguay, what was the second mission trip you?
Okay. When I left Paraguay.
How was the feeling when you left? You're like, I'm sure they were going to miss you. They were crying. Mm-hmm. They're like, don't go, stay with us some more.
I know, it was wild because there were some people that we got to know really, really well. Like, whenever you do an outreach with YOM, they try to make sure that you have a contact so that when you go to whatever nation, you are doing ministry that's actually fruitful to them and actually yeah. will benefit them. So some of our contacts, we were with the full 12 weeks. And so by the end, it was kind of sad to leave them. And I think that's one of the things in YWAM that everyone knows is that you have a lot of kind of bittersweet goodbyes and really tough goodbyes because you really get really, really close to people.
Yeah.
And you make some lifelong friends. So at that point, we'd done like two or three goodbyes. And so we were like, kind of dreading this other one. But yeah, it was after I left Paraguay, after you do an outreach, you have like a week long debrief.
Okay.
Back and we went back to Hawaii, but sometimes depending on spacing, you go to different places. But we'd gone back to Hawaii, and for that week, and honestly, since like the third week of my BTS, I felt like I just really felt in my heart, and it was kind of one of my prayers and one of my prayers to the Lord. I was like, God, I just don't feel like this should be just 6 months of my life.
Yeah,
I feel like there's more I can do and that you want me to do here, you know? And so on my debrief, I was like, okay, I've pushed this off for 6 months and I kind of need to figure out next steps. I had a place in university for September. I deferred it 1 year. That's
quite bold and courageous.
Yeah, but over my time in Paraguay, I kind of reapplied because they were like, oh, you can't defer it for 2 years.
Okay.
So I kind of reapplied and got another space in university. So I was like, so I can defer this second space for a year. So I was kind of tossing out what to do. And I spoke to one of our friends and she was like, she just gave me some really good advice about making a decision. And so I came home, and if I was going to go back to do missions, I was going to be home for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Within those 3 weeks, we had a family holiday planned for like two of those weeks. So I was like, okay, it's going to be tight if I want to do fundraising. It's going to be tight to make a decision and like try and book flights back to Hawaii because it's expensive. But yeah, as I was praying, I kind of had two opportunities. I could do a School of Biblical Studies, which is a 9-month Bible school. And I could do it in Hawaii. That was kind of like, there's other places I could have done it, but that was an option. And another option was actually to be a staff of the school that I had just done. So as I was praying, I was like, okay, Scotland Bible School had kind of just started. And I was like, okay, well, if I don't do a School of Biblical Studies, I can go home and start a Scotland Bible School. So it was kind of like a way of being able to do both.
Yeah.
So I went back to staff. I felt like the Lord was saying he wanted to help me grow as a biblical leader and help me grow in leadership, because it was something people had said to me, oh, like, you're quite influential, or, oh, like, you could be a good leader. And I was like, okay, I didn't really see it, but I was like, people keep saying it. Maybe it's something I should kind of pursue. And I felt like God was saying this was going to be an opportunity to do that. So I went back to Hawaii and I had another 6 months there. The first 3 months was like staff training.
Yeah.
Just equipping the staff, because there was quite a few first-time staff. So it's equipping them. And then we had students arrive in the September of 2023. So this is all in like a year.
Yeah.
So in that September, more students arrived and I was like living in a room with these students. Which I loved every last one of them. They were amazing. And then I, with two other people, led a team to Guinea-Bissau in Africa.
In Africa?
Yeah. So we had...
Was that daunting?
It was. There was a moment because I turned 18. Two of my students were 27. And so they were very much older than me. And I kind of was having a moment as we were heading to the airport in Hawaii of like,
two of like the people that were on your team were 27.
Two of my students were 27.
18.
Yeah. So A couple of the girls were 18, but our age was 18 to 27 on our team. But I had a moment on the way to the airport where I was like, I feel like I kind of had these, what are those moments of like, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah.
And then walk back up and realize where I was going. And I was like, wait, how did we get here? How is this happening? Yeah. Am I actually in charge of
everything happens too fast.
Going to getting this out? And so it was like, okay. But yeah, that was, it was a crazy time as well. It was so cool to be in Africa.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Was that the only time you've been to Africa?
No. So I'd been to Nigeria a couple of times when I was really, really young. And then I actually went to Nigeria after we came back from Guinea-Bissau a couple of months later. But it was the first time I'd been in a while.
Oh.
So yeah, that was like a crazy time of leading a team with my co-leaders and like doing my best. It was 100%.
How was the experience in Guinea-Bissau? Like the culture, the environment, seeing that there was no lights 24/7, seeing how the communities, like the villages lived, like no water, no access to good water or like things like that.
I think I'm very fortunate having grown up in a multicultural house.
Yeah.
That a lot of that stuff wasn't surprising to me. It was kind of stuff that I'd heard and my dad had told me about or my grandparents had told me about and kind of just, it wasn't new to me. But there were some students on my team that found it quite hard in the beginning and found that culture shock really difficult. And even like Africa time of everything just being late was really hard for them to kind of come to terms with. Whereas I was like, no, I've sat.
Yeah, you know, I had to ensure that I was early today.
Yeah.
So you would be like, oh, this African boy.
No, but I have such a grace for it because, again, I'm just like, I don't see the point in getting worked up over these things. I'm like, there's so many other things I'd rather
focus on.
Have peace on the timing of things. But yeah, I think I loved the African culture. I think a part of me felt a bit like home because growing up in Scotland, I could feel a bit out of touch with like my Nigerian culture. Like my walking into my grandparents' house is very much like walking into just a touch of Nigeria in Scotland.
Yeah.
But you're very aware that you're in Scotland. And so it's not the same. And so it was cool to kind of be in like Africa unfiltered. and it was just great. Like everyone there was so lovely.
Yeah.
Obviously there's loads of white people on my team. And so African people loved that. They were like,
yeah, they are always excited to see white people.
The Ghanaians were like, they just loved my team and they loved like spending time with us. And the YWAM base in Guinea-Bissau, a lot of the missionaries there are Portuguese or Brazilian. So it was cool to like be around like kind of also a bit of like Brazilian culture again. And
your
like
first one mission of, trip also.
One of the students on my team, she was Brazilian, she was a Brasileira. And so it was cool to like just spend time in that culture. And again, like hearing people speak Portuguese made me want to be like, okay, I want to relearn this. And like over the time I was there, I started to like pick up Portuguese again. But I was like, okay, this is one of my goals when I go home to kind of relearn it. But yeah, it was an amazing time. It wasn't the easiest of outreach at times. We had a lot of sickness in our team. We had like just learning about different cultures, different religions. But yeah, it was great.
What was your favorite African food?
My favorite African food. Okay. I would probably say jollof rice.
Okay.
I love jollof rice.
Yeah, it's like so good.
My gran makes the most amazing Nigerian food.
Yeah.
Oh, I look for, although she actually, her and my granddad were in Nigeria for the last 3 or 4 weeks. They just got back and we went round to their house the other day to go visit and she's like come back with all her like Nigerian loot, all her green nuts and all her like supplies that you can only get there. So.
Yeah.
I'm excited to
eat them
over the next couple of weeks.
That's quite fun. It's also very like fulfilling seeing that you've been able to like live your life like for God, doing God's will. So like a lot of times people like be like, oh, being a Christian, is it fun? But you've had a lot of experiences and you're like, oh, I can't even go back. I just want to keep experiencing God more and keep like seeking God and being able to like go deeper in God. It's like
Being a
really good.
Christian is so fun. And
Yeah.
I always say being Christian isn't easy, but it's better. And like, or maybe someone else, I don't know if I'm quoting that, to be honest, but that's kind of how it feels. It's like being a Christian isn't the easiest, you know. There will be trials
Of
and there will
course.
be persecution, but
Yeah.
it's the quality of life is so much better because it's
Yeah.
like you're living for eternity, you know,
Yeah.
and it's so worth it.
Yeah. And like, it's not even like just seeing eternity in view. I feel even for life on earth, because there's like so much peace. Like, I don't get to like be an ace, like, or be so anxious like other people, because I know there's someone looking after me. And also having the advantage of the Holy Spirit, knowing that you can know things that to happen, things that happened in the past that you probably forgot. So I tell people like my greatest advantage would not be probably my intellect or what I can do. It would be like being able to have the Holy Spirit inside of me.
For sure.
Feels just the most amazing thing ever. It bubbles in my heart like in the morning. I'm happy and I'm excited. People are like, oh, I went to work yesterday, and my colleague was like, oh, you're always so positive. Then I said, only if you know what's in my mind. Yeah, it's just because I feel I've been able to learn the art of just enjoying the Holy Spirit and just thanking God for just having so much tremendous gift of the Spirit inside of us, which is good. It's so good having a God live inside of you.
You know, it's like the God of the universe, like the
Yeah.
creator of the world,
Yeah.
in all that he is, all his majesty,
Yeah.
like he dwells in us.
Yeah,
Like
it's
we
amazing.
are his temple.
Like, it's just so amazing. And like when I see people trying to say things like, oh, I want to please God and stuff, I'm like, there's no way you're immortal. You can try to please an immortal. He's already pleased with you. Yeah. So like irrespective of how you see things, that's why he died for you. I'm just like, such an advantage like to have. Like a lot of things would happen, a lot of trials. Like I feel this year has been one of the most longest year, like the first quarter. My dad lost, we lost our uncle, my mom lost her mom. So like it's been a lot, but irrespective of all this, there's just been so much peace in the family and so much fun and happiness and joy, really.
And
Yeah.
it's because it's like when you love God and you have God,
Yeah.
you like he's so big that
Yeah.
you remember how small you are.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
it's like he is so in control
Yeah,
that
so
like
in control of everything.
me being stressed or worried or anxious is honestly just wasting energy
Yeah.
because it's like God is so sovereign.
Yeah, it's like so good. And a lot of people also feel like being a Christian is an easy journey. It's like, oh, like even you are forewarned, like even if you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. Like it didn't say like there'll be no fire, like so much fire burning around, but you're not going to like disappear out of it. How I see it is that God doesn't make the problems disappear. He just grants us much grace, more grace, and makes his grace so sufficient for us that it makes the problem like so little, and we see ourselves like, oh, we can actually trample these and walk past it. That's why even David was like, oh, I run through the troop, I leap over the wall. There's a troop, there's a wall. So you have to run, you have to still leap. So it's quite fun and adventurous. And seeing that you've been able to like go on these mission trips would help your faith grow, and knowing what God can do, knowing how beautiful God is, and people receiving the good news and seeing the effect of the good news in their life is so amazing.
I think like the when we were in Guinea-Bissau
Yeah.
on our team, it was a really tough outreach.
Yeah.
Living conditions, health, it was really tough. But I have never seen such fruit. And it's one of those things where it's like God was so clearly with us and giving us grace and like
Yeah.
bringing fruit from the seed we were planting because it
Yeah.
was like we kind of were just like, okay, God, like we actually can't do anything ourselves. So we're just kind of like cast the seed and believe with faith that you'll bring it in. I was blown away. We like to keep reports. Like they like to keep reports of like, okay, how many Bibles are you distributing? How many salvations are you seeing? Yeah. Like how many unreached people groups are you talking to? Not everyone is doing all those things, but just so we can see the spread of the gospel in the world. But like looking at our statistics, and like to us they're statistics, to God they're people that he's known their whole life.
Yeah.
And seeing how God was moving so clearly and evidently.
Yeah.
In Guinea-Bissau particularly, you know, they have this mission to have a Bible in every home.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like they're easily doing it because they're receiving teams all the time and distributing Bibles everywhere, and they're so organized in how they're doing it. And it's like that strategy to support this like vision and this dream that God has given the contacts there is so cool to see, like God encountering his people.
So good. Like, so good. The gospel is spreading and it's prevailing. So, like, how do you balance being a fun, like young person with deeply committed to God? Like, what do you, like, being young, sometimes you're like, oh, so I just want to be young. And you remember that, oh, you actually have a lot on your shoulders being young. So how do you balance it?
I'm glad that you think I'm a fun young person.
Every time I see you, you guys are always laughing. You, Ella, Olivia, and I'm like, oh, so fun, so much fun.
I try to. Well, it's that the joy of the Lord. is that is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I feel bad for joy sometimes. I feel like it's overlooked, you know, and the fruits of the Spirit. Everyone talks about self-control and gentleness, and I'm like, guys, joy is in there. but yeah, I think if God is your God, you're his child. You know, if God is your father, you're his child. And so in that aspect, it's easy to see yourself as a child.
Yeah.
And I think every year I have like a word for the year. It's like, okay, this year I'm going to like pursue this. And my word for this year is daughter. And I think and I think like a big part of that, particularly this year, is like seeing myself as his daughter, you know, and seeing myself as someone who can sit at his feet, someone who can come in his house and curl up on his lap, and someone who can run to my father for help. And so I think that's a big part of like particularly this year why I'm trying to see things in a lighter way and choose joy and choose fun and like choosing submission to God as my father. So I would say that's probably an aspect, but I think it's again one of those things where when you see God as your father and you're his child, like a child submits to their parent because their parent knows what's best. And so I think the deeper you go with the Lord, the more you have an understanding of his control and his sovereignty. And so then it's easier to be a child. It's easier to have fun because it's not on our shoulders, you know?
Yeah.
It's on his shoulders and we get to like take his hand and follow him wherever he leads us. And that's like, that's the best.
Yeah.
You know, where God wants me is where I want to be because that's the best place for me to be. And so I think just having an understanding of like, an understanding of submission maybe, but like an understanding of being a child, it makes it easy to choose joy and to have fun, you know?
Yeah. You know, like while you're talking, I'm like, said it earlier and it just popped back up again. Like you being young, I feel like you're like 35 or 45. Sometimes I tell people, I'm like, okay, age is not, it's just a number. It's like, I feel your experiences in life tells you your age. Then in my mind, I'm like, oh, you've had a lot of experiences. Yeah. You're like, oh, a lot to go through. It's quite fun.
I feel like I've always been quite quite an old soul. I don't know if that's accurate.
You feel like you grew up too fast? Like, you got to know a lot of things so fast?
Well, I think it's partly being an older sister.
Yeah, you know, like being the first child.
Brother, my sister, being the first child and kind of being quite, I'm very independent. I'm always wanting to figure things out on my own. And so I think I've just kind of always come across as a bit older than I am or a bit more mature, which I will take it.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I'm very grateful to God that I've been able to do so much so young, because I feel like it's just,
It's so good.
yeah, it's setting me up to do even more, you know?
Yeah, it's so good because it's like the way Lamentations puts it, that it's just good that we bear the yoke in the days of our youth. Like, couldn't have wished that I used my energy for something else than just for God, just running for God. It's like, I have so much energy in me, and I'm like, no. If I was using it for something else, I'll probably be in jail.
I'm
So,
glad you're not.
yeah, it's like so fun being with God, which is really good. So, I think like I could still ask like one more question, or do you feel tired?
No,
Do you?
I'm good to keep going.
Okay. So, if you could teleport anywhere in the world for a mission trip today, where would you go?
Okay, now I've been asked, you know, that question, like, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you be? I've said, although for a missions trip makes a different, you know, where would I want to go?
But if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you
If I
want
could
to?
go any in the world, okay, I've said Alaska, and everyone's like, why would you go to Alaska? Because it's like, okay,
It's like so cold.
realistically, I'm never going to plan a trip for myself to Alaska. So if someone's getting me there and doing all the work, yeah, I'll go, because then I can say I've been. But if it was like to do a mission trip, I would love to go to Madagascar. Because I
Yo, I
think,
never knew that country existed
I
like
know
again.
you.
Like, because I always forget that that's a country.
Yeah, but I think that's like one of my friends, actually, she ended up going on outreach to Madagascar
That's so cool.
when we were students. I was like, that's just wild. Like, it just seems like one of those places, like, I just want to see what's up. I just want to see what's happening. So maybe Madagascar, maybe somewhere like a Pacific Island, like Fiji or something. We've had a team go to Fiji before, and that was so cool.
That's so cool. Where would I want to go to? Afghanistan. I was just like, what to see? But my parents wouldn't allow me. They're like, no way. No way. Like anytime I want to make a decision and my dad and mom feel like I'm not listening to them, they just call my sister. But it's like, we're so close. And my sister's like, why are you stressing everyone out? And I'm like, oh, that's what I want to do. Then I realized that every action you actually take is not just for you. You have to just consider everyone. And you're like, oh, my parents, my sister, my nephews. I'm like, oh, it's quite good. I'll ask you another fun question. Okay, what's your hope for your generation, for this generation, when it comes to faith and purpose? Or what do you think you're called to do, actually? What do you think is your
What
purpose?
do I think I'm called to do? Now, the short answer to that is I have no idea. I
I
have no
feel you're
idea.
an evangelist.
Oh my goodness, no. I think if you look at my APES test, and I'm not defined by my test, but evangelism is,
I feel that's your art, like reaching people, like
I love like pastorally reaching people. Evangelistically, I find it really difficult. Like, it's something I push myself in. We're all called to preach the gospel and share the good news, and so of course I will do it, but it is definitely not my strongest gifting.
Well, like looking at everything you've told me, that's your
I
biggest, that's your strongest gift right now. At times you're like, okay, this is what I could be called to do, but like you try to run away from it. You're like, no, not
know.
this.
No, I think there are things that I can see God giving me giftings for, and I think, like, I don't know what my calling is, and to be honest, I'm kind of okay not knowing. I'm kind of like, God, whatever you lead me to, I'm
Wherever
willing
you
to
want me
do.
to be.
Wherever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do, like, if it's what you're asking me to do, I will do it, you know?
Just mold me to anything.
Yeah. There's a song, it's like, put me anywhere, put your glory on me, I'll serve
I
anywhere.
listen to that every morning. Like, there was a point I was praying to God for something. Then I was listening to the song. Then I'm like, God, I need this. All is actually for. I feel like those guys have probably, if they were singing in my room every day, they would be like so tired right now because I play like the song every day. And it's like one of my favorite songs. It's just
A
so
great song.
cool.
It's one of those songs where, like, you sing it and then, like, you have a moment of like, okay, these are the words I'm singing. Like, am I actually meaning this?
It's like send me anywhere. I'm like, God, no.
There's a couple of songs like that that it's like every time I go to sing them, I have to like do a heart check of like, okay, do I actually mean this when I'm singing this? There's another song, refiner.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to be tried by fire, purified. And I'm like, okay, God, hold on. Let me gather myself before I go through this trial by fire and refining. But yeah, I think I do, like, I want to have that heart of like, here I am, send me, and like, whatever God asks me to do, be willing to do.
Pick up your two shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Be willing to go. And even if going means staying in Scotland, I will do it if that is what God is asking of me. But yeah, I don't know what my calling is.
Yeah, but like, what do you think at this phase, like your to do, like
at this phase, I felt clearly from God that I was to come home and go to university.
Okay.
I'm
sure your parents would be so happy.
That was kind of like two words I had were like, okay, honoring my parents.
Yeah.
And going to university, but also in like being home. I'd been away for a year and a half. And so just being home and spending time with my family and like letting what God had done in my life the year and a half pour into my family as well, you know? So that was kind of one of the words. Another word was like kind of like a Paul moment of after Paul's baptized, he then kind of disappears. And it's like he, in Galatians, he's talking about how he was like spent that time with the Lord and like refining and
working in Arabia.
And so I think that was kind of another word I got, was that actually as I came home, it would kind of be one of those moments of like, okay, I've had this moment, I've had these life-changing experiences, now let's kind of go home and allow those roots to really take place, because my time within missions was a whirlwind. And so it was like, allow these things to really take root and to really solidify in my life. But also to kind of to be in an environment where I had to make the choice to choose God every day. It wasn't like, okay, everyone around me is doing it, so I'm doing it. It's like, no, everyone around me actually isn't doing it.
Yeah, so you have to like lead it.
Yeah, like standing alone in that sometimes and kind of choosing. Like someone said, there's a difference between like isolation and solitude.
Yeah.
Like kind of choosing that solitude with God. And like, so that was kind of like, that's probably my calling now.
Yeah.
I would say this, like this season of my life that I'm in, is that like honoring my family and like pouring into my family best I can. I'm not perfect. And so I'm sure they would have complaints.
Yeah.
But
you know, I'm sure when your dad is listening to this.
I'm sure this is going to be quoted against me the next couple of weeks. But yeah, I think doing my best to honor them, but also really being, really allowing my faith to really take root, to kind of set me up to do whatever it is God calls me to, you know, to be, to have such a solid foundation in Him, I can keep building on and really lean on, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say that's probably my calling. And I remember someone said on my DTS, one of my teachers, one of her lecturers said, like, I want to be leaning so hard on God that if He moves, I fall. Yeah. I think having that kind of like life set up of having everything I'm doing centered around and leaning and focused on God.
That's so cool.
It's all God's words. It's all what He's given me.
That's good. Oh, okay. So, do you have moments in which, like, you've like felt really down and drowned?
Mm-hmm.
How do you pull yourself back up?
I think I can probably think of maybe two moments like that. I think.
I was thinking you'd be like, oh no, my life has just been cozy and smooth.
No, I think there was a moment in Guinea-Bissau where...
I think Guinea-Bissau can never be forgotten.
Yeah. There was a moment where we were doing ministry every day, doing Bible distribution, and meeting people, praying for people, sharing the gospel, all the things. And I just kind of had a moment of like, realizing the need for God and kind of having that like was a bit of a break my heart for what breaks yours, and like seeing actually so many people struggling and suffering and going through life without God, or even being deceived by other religions. And like, just had a moment of like that really broke my heart. And I remember being like, what even is the point? What is the point of us being here if we only reach however many people? And even then, you don't know like what seed is going to take. You don't know what fruit is going to come from that. And so I just kind of had a really discouraging moment. And I just kind of was like, what is the point? And I think that's probably one of the lowest moments that I felt. It was like a genuine hopelessness. And I think what really got me out of that was, one, having like my best friend, my best friend at the time was there with me. And she just was an encouragement to me. She was like, even if it's for the one, like we will do it because that's what God does. And I think having people around me helped. But I think really it was a trusting of God and like a realization of it's actually God doing this. It's not me. It doesn't matter how many people I talk to, because God could literally give them a dream at night and have them saved the next morning. You know, actually, I don't need to be here. I don't need to be here for God to do his work, for God to do his ministry. Like, God is doing missions. He asks us to come and partner with him. He's not saying you go because no one's there. He's like, no, I'm there. You can come and join me there, you know? So I think...
And if this were the church service, I'll be like, right on, Pastor.
No, but I think that was like I needed a reminder. I needed to refocus myself on the fact that like it's God's ministry that I'm partnering with him in. So I think that reminder of God and his sovereignty. I think the other moment where I felt really low was probably after YWAM. And like I said, you make such good connections and such good friendships. But then I came home and like I felt very, very alone, because there was people like that I was literally seeing day in, day out and going through everything every day with. And so it's almost like kind of grieving someone, because it's like someone you're used to being in your life is like suddenly not there and you don't know when you're going to see them again. So it was kind of like experiencing that grief, but for like 7 or 8 people at once. And so that was like, I kind of had like a real isolation moment. And then I was like God had given me this word of like having a season like Paul. I was like, oh my goodness, Paul, I'm all alone. I'm going to be with all these people who just aren't taking their faith seriously. And I felt like I was like, oh, just such a victim mindset. It was just poor old me off. But I remember kind of like slowly getting better and slowly being like, oh, what was me? Life is so tough, blah, blah, blah. But then Brian, pastor at my church, did a series on Colossians last year. And at this point, I was like streaming the services in the evening. And it was all about Colossians 4. And I hope I get this right. Imagine if I'm totally misquoting. But he was saying about how Paul, was in a sense alone in his ministry. Actually, like at the end of Colossians, he lists off like 10 people who are like, I've got this friend who's doing this ministry and this friend who's doing here and this friend. And it's like, was making the point of like, although Paul might have been alone in his ministry, he had people who he was supporting and who were supporting him, who were doing their ministry in different places. And I kind of had this moment of like, okay, these friends that I'm missing, like I can still be intentional in those friendships. I can still love on them and pray for them and have them praying for me. And like one of my really, really good friends, her name is Chelsea, and we kind of like, after I had this like kind of realization of like, okay, just because I maybe I'm apart from them doesn't mean like I can't still care for them and love on them and be praying for them. So I kind of was like, hey, can we be more in contact? Like I said this to Chelsea, like, can we stay more in touch? So we started doing this thing called Waffle Wednesday. So every Wednesday we will like just give each other an update on like, this is what's been going on this week. This is what I'm doing. This is what God is teaching me. This is what you can be praying for. And I think when I started doing that and we started being more in touch, having that realization of like, I'm doing what God is asking me to do here in Scotland. She's doing what God is asking her to do over there in Canada. But we're both pursuing God yeah. and we're both kind of doing what he's asking us to do. And so even that is like an encouragement. So I feel like in both of my low situations, God has spoke to me in different ways. But what has helped me through them has been like clinging to God. And I think I'm very grateful. And I think maybe this is the way I was raised, or maybe it's just the way my faith is, where like when I'm in really tough times, I've never been a person to question like, God, why? Like, I've never doubted God. I've never doubted his personality. I've never doubted his goodness. If anything, I doubt myself. And it's like, I'll be like, okay, God, what am I not seeing? What are you doing that I'm not understanding? What can I learn from this? That's kind of the mindset I've always had in harder times, is like, what am I missing? Because God, you're perfect. So it's not your fault. But what am I not seeing? What do I need to open my eyes to see, kind of thing. So I think that kind of mindset really helps in those tough times. Yeah.
Yo, that was good. That was good. I'll ask you like a fire question, then we'll just close. Do you have like a big dream you hope to achieve before you're 21?
A dream before I'm 21? Oh, goodness. I wanted to witness to my flatmates, and I feel like I did a good job of that, all because of God. But I think then one of my wants for the year was to be in like a Christian environment again, and to kind of be surrounded by Christians and serving. And one of the reasons I'm so grateful that I have God is that even when I don't pray those things, he knows the desires of my heart. And so he has always blessed me in those ways. But then randomly, Brian and Kelly came to me like, oh, do you want to come to camp this year? Because they, Kelly's brother, runs a camp in America. And so they were like, we're all going to camp, and Brian and Kelly are going to be like directors of the staff this year. And they were like, so we want to get a team of rehopers going. Do you want to come? And I was like, thank you, Jesus, because that's exactly what I wanted. So this summer, I'm also getting to work at camp and be surrounded with loads of Christians and serve a bunch of kids and families that are going to be there. So it's just so cool how like my two dreams for the year already are happening.
That's cool. Thank you so much for coming.
Of course.
It's been like a very interesting conversation with you and really exciting. Very good stories.
We didn't know where we were going to go, but
yes.
We got here.
Yeah, we got there. We got there. Yeah. Just Aaron God, just take the wheel. It's like, oh.
For real?
Yeah. Thank you, Mia. Thank you. Of course. Hopefully we'll do a part two.
Part two pending. Yeah.